We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo, and Peter Jones in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have our four regular players of the game who are going to compete against each other as usual and try and speak for just a minute without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Now, in the last series, many weeks ago, we changed, for fun, the order. And this week we thought we would change the flavour a little, and as Kenneth Williams regularly criticises me for the decisions I make as chairman, we're going to ask him to sit in my seat and see how he does, and I'm nobody.
How do you do? Thank you very much indeed, and welcome to Just a Minute, chaired by the one and only, the brilliant, the incomparable Kenneth, put him on the mantelpiece, Williams. And we begin with Nicholas Parsons, and the subject is Miller. Will you speak for 60 seconds on Miller, starting now?
The Miller that comes to my mind is a fellow called Andy Miller, who I met on Clydebank when I went up there at the beginning of the war to begin an apprenticeship as an engineer.
Question, which war?
The Boer War.
Well, you said it.
Look here, that wasn't a proper challenge. That wasn't a proper challenge, so Nicholas gets a point. Will you put a point down? And will you continue? And will you continue with the subject? You have 40 seconds. Will you continue with the subject of Miller for 40 seconds, starting now?
This fellow Miller was a pure Glaswegian from Clydebank, and when I arrived, he said, oh, next...
What's the challenge now?
Repetition of Clydebank. We had Clydebank said twice, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm afraid you did say it before, Nicholas.
I know, just because he interrupted me.
45. 45 seconds remain?
45.
45 seconds remains for you on Miller, starting now.
Joe Miller wrote The Wit's Bardin Maker.
What's the challenge?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, I'm afraid that was so. You get the subject back. Little less than 45 seconds on Miller, starting now.
Miller said to me, I'm not going to come up here. That's all right for you. You come in on the south here. I'm not going to pray here. I've got a me yourself. I've got the way we talk in Scotland. This is a year assassin, not a fracker kind of money. I know yees, but yees is an evil from a fountain. And this is all very well, but come on. I've got a big, I've got the doors, horns, my back. I got a bigger horns, got it. If you're not getting them there, you're not going to feel them bring you. And that's what I'm saying, I'm bringing you to the preacher, she's going to burn you. And that's why you can understand what I'm talking about.
There's been a challenge from Derek. What was your challenge?
A repetition of Ark.
Yes, well, I can't allow Ark because, after all, it was such a peculiarly involved dialect that I couldn't single out anything wrong there. So you have 20 seconds on the subject of Miller, starting now.
Miller is also the name of the man who grinds corn with those huge circular stones. It can be done in different ways as well.
So who's the challenge now?
Me.
No, what are you challenging on?
Hesitation.
Hesitation?
Yes.
Did you hesitate, Nicholas?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Very well. What's your question about that?
I want to show how generous and magnanimous I can be in spite of the way he treated me when he was the chairman of Just a Minute a long time ago.
Your behaviour is most commendable. I have no question of that. It's very commendable. So the subject goes to Clement Freud, Miller, starting now.
I would like to say that the Miller to whom Nicholas Parsons was apprenticed in Clydebank has much to answer for. If ever a man had an opportunity of doing away with someone who has been a great bane in our lives.
Yeah. So who's winning? Oh, nobody's winning. No, the two in the lead are Nicholas and Clement. And the next subject is yours, Clement. Fun with snails, starting now.
If you want to have fun with snails, you need quite a lot of time in which to enjoy them. You ask a snail to climb up a lamppost and then go out for breakfast, lunch, dinner and tea. And by the time you return, there's every hope that the illumination which I mentioned before and can therefore not say again will have been reached and climbed, at the top of which the snail...
I'm regretting this. He said climb before.
No, he said climb.
Yes, it was climb this time.
Yes, so
he didn't
know. Why are you challenging this? It's silly. You're interrupting him, and he's doing so well. Go on, Clement, continue with fun with snails as from now.
Maybe the greatest fun can be had by eating them, quite simply sticking them in the oven with a lot of garlic and butter and parsley, and then getting a silver dish which could also be made of aluminium or other metals.
Who's challenged now? This is Peter Jones. You, why are you challenged?
Because you can't have a silver dish which is also made of aluminium and other metals. It wouldn't be a silver dish if it was.
The handles, he's pointed out, could be made of it. The handles.
And the handles made of what?
He knows what he's talking about. The man is a culinary expert, your great Nana. You continue with the subject.
But what was he talking about?
Fun with snails starting now.
Escargot sans plein d'humeur is the way the French would term fun with snails. Schnecken is the German expression for the word, and not very nice they are when you get them in Berlin, especially in Potsdam, where restaurants take great pride in serving you these foul, rubbery, chewing gum-like insects.
Very good. Yes, that is put Clement Fry with those number of points commandingly in the lead. And the next subject goes to Peter Jones, and you must talk on the Blarney Stone for 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, last year I happened to be in Ireland, and I visited Cork, and some friends took me out to Blarney, which is a small town not very far away. Very disappointing, I thought. I didn't actually get to see the stone itself, which is the centrepiece, really, I suppose, of this place. It's a sort of magnet for all the people around, visitors, tourists and whatnot. But it's full of rather boring shops with Donegal Tweed and Waterford Glass and things of that kind, Irish honey, whiskey and so forth.
I don't think there's anything boring about Waterford Glass and Irish whiskey. I think they're very exciting and exotic things.
That may well be your opinion, but Peter Jones has another opinion and is entitled to express it. Wait, you continue with the subject. You may find it boring, you may find it diverting, but you continue with the subject. You have just over 30 seconds for the Blarney Stone, starting now.
I was very disappointed because the main object of going there...
Okay, it comes from Derek, I'm afraid.
Repetition, sir, of disappointed, sir.
Did he say disappointed?
No, of course I didn't.
He was very disappointed when he saw the tower. Now he's very disappointed again just then.
Oh, well, I'm afraid, Peter, that's fair enough. Yes, well, you have 25 seconds, Derek, for the Blarney Stone, starting now.
The Blarney Stone in Blarney Castle is, in fact, some 40 feet from the ground, and to actually kiss it, which was what you're supposed to do, needs to be quite athletic.
A lot of buzzes there. It seemed to come from Clement Freud. I think Clement Freud was the first.
Hesitation,
yes, I'm afraid so. You have the subject. You will speak for 15 seconds on the Blarney Stone, starting now.
I've never quite understood why people wanted to kiss the Blarney Stone. They could hug it, they could take it out for tea.
Nicholas?
I don't think you could take the Blarney Stone out for tea. I don't think you could move it, and certainly wouldn't enjoy the tea if you took it.
Yes, I think that's deviation.
Oh, what a marvellous chairman.
Yes, I think
it's
deviation.
A wonderful chairman. Oh,
we have 12 seconds. We have 12 seconds on the Blarney Stone, starting now.
Well, I remember when I was last in Ireland, they said you must kiss the Blarney Stone, because all of us over here, we just know how to talk about it. That's the whole thing. If you've been over there to Cork and you've been down there, put your head under the thing. That's the thing.
Yes, well, some marks were achieved there, but I'm afraid Clement Freud still has a commanding lead. The subject now goes to Derek. Calculators. Will you speak on that subject for 60 seconds? Calculators, starting now.
Well, I have a calculator, and I find it extraordinarily useful. How you can persuade children to learn mathematics at school today when they can find all the answers they require, or nearly all they want, on one of these little machines. Because all you do is press a little button.
Yes, Clement Freud is...
For alls.
All. There was two alls, yes. You have the subject calculators.
Is it 45 seconds starting now?
I am almost unique in having bought a calculator when it first came on the market at £75. And over the years, it has become cheaper and ever less expensive until we may now pay something like 87p and get something which may not work very well, but my goodness, it is cheap. And I do...
A challenge from Nick, yes? Nick?
I thought he packed in then.
Yes, I agree. You have 25 seconds for calculator starting now.
I understand that children can now take these into their examination classes.
Oh, a challenge from Clement.
You understand wrongly.
Oh, no, because my child has done it. And they've been...
Well, your child is a cheat. And I'm not surprised.
Your child is also too old to go to school.
He's going to college. He goes to college.
I know them both.
He was conceived during the Boer War.
The gestation period of the Parsons is long.
It doesn't matter if I'm on the panel or in the chair. They all have a go at me, don't they?
Yes,
walking
I
out.
Think
people
the,
are walking out.
I think the challenge. I'm afraid. I think.
Some are running.
Are you definitely? Have you definite knowledge about these things not being allowed at examination periods, Clement? I mean, have you real knowledge about this?
It depends on the examination.
I see. Then it's not a rule. There is not a general rule.
There's no general rule.
Then
if you're being examined for rheumatism, naturally you're allowed to have a calculator.
Will you please not interrupt a very distinguished chairman? Please.
When's
he
arriving?
We have 15 seconds. 15 seconds for you on calculator starting now.
And now, if you calculate who are the most important cult figures of our time, the first one who comes to mind is undoubtedly Kenneth Williams, our chairman this week, taken over my role. But to get back to the subject of children.
The subject is not children. You should get back to the subject of
children. Children in calculators in schools, which is what I was talking about.
Not what you
about.
Said. No, not what you said. No, you're lying.
No, no, you can get back to the... He can get back to the subject, you see, that he was on before. It doesn't necessarily have to be the subject on the card if it was in the course of his discourse.
He was talking about
that. You now have 5 seconds on calculators starting now.
I think that...
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Did you hesitate, Nicholas?
No!
Oh, you didn't. Very well, then you have 4 seconds for calculators starting now.
Calculators should not...
Who is that challenging?
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Did you hesitate?
No!
Oh, well, I don't believe it then. Now you have 3 seconds on calculators starting now.
Calculators!
Hesitation.
There must be something in it if everybody thinks we
have weakened here. I think the trouble is that you're a big cult.
You have 2 seconds for calculators starting now.
Calculators are those little machines which you press the buttons.
Take no notice. Continue with the
TV. Yes?
TV-ish.
Calculators.
There was a lot of mischief-making then from the panel, and I don't want any more of it. Very, very, very naughty. And now the next subject. Yes, oh, I see. Nicholas has leapt into the lead. Oh, it's outrageous, isn't it? Got about 11 times. It's disgraceful. Nicholas, is your subject The Garden of Eden. 60 seconds starting now.
The Garden of Eden appears in the second...
Derek.
Mr. Chairman, why is he not speaking with a funny voice?
Derek. Derek, I must warn you. I'm in charge here. I will not allow this kind of levity.
Oh, sorry.
It's a disgrace.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I retract.
Now, you have 55 seconds for the subject, The Garden of Eden, starting now.
The second book of Genesis refers to the Garden of Eden.
Clement Freud.
There isn't a second book of Genesis.
I see. What book is it?
The first book of day is a book of Genesis.
I see. That is fair enough. Therefore, you have 55 seconds for the subject, The Garden of Eden, starting now.
Brillat Savarin, who was a great French writer and philosopher, said, O children of Eden, who gave it all up for an apple... What might they not have done for partridge stuffed with prunes macerated in brandy? And I think he... I think I'll probably stop
there. A challenge from
there.
Nicholas. Why did you challenge?
Well, he stopped, actually. After
yes, but he was provoked, you see. The pair of them on that side, I watched them. They were laughing and banging the table like a pair
I
of
wasn't
naughty,
laughing or banging
naughty
the
school
table.
Boys.
You weren't
I've seen better
table.
Behavior in the sixth. It's disgraceful. And you continue with the subject, Clement, starting now.
It was an absolutely terrific place, and there were two people who I think were called Adam and later Eve, conceived by someone whose name escapes me. And they had an enormously enjoyable time, first of all getting to know each other and later going out into the world and begatting a substantial number of people.
Yes,
I don't think they begat a substantial number. I think it was just Cain and Abel. That's all that's recorded. I agreed. I've made
yes,
a mistake.
Yes, but I mean, he didn't
it.
Mean they did it themselves. He mean that they were the source for masses of begetting.
He didn't say
meant.
That.
And I'm sure that's what he meant. He's nodding
what
in agreement.
Begat means.
And he keeps the subject.
They said they enjoyed themselves,
the
and it was the enjoyment
of
their begatting that
produced. And he starts now.
On the subject of begatting, which happened in the Garden of Eden, the Parsons family also went in for that sort of thing.
Nicholas?
Well, I haven't been in the Garden of Eden. And it was Derek's and Abbey's during the Boer War I did my begatting. And,
So it's devious, then?
It's absolutely devious.
Right, you have the subject, then 5 seconds on the subject of the Garden of Eden, starting now.
Why they gave this subject to me, I suppose, is because they think it's a parson's one. And,
Very good. Very good indeed. Yes, I'm sure your faces will all drop when I tell you that Nicholas Parsons is so much in the lead that not many of you have much of a chance. The next subject goes to Clement Freud. Will you speak for 6 seconds on the world's greatest picture, starting now?
The world's greatest picture is quite undoubtedly in the eyes of the beholder. And Kenneth Williams asked that self-same question, would presumably say it is a cult figure in Great Portland Street, known as Kenneth Williams, age 16.
Yes, what is your challenge, Derek?
Repetition of Kenneth Williams.
Yes, I'm afraid, sir. The subject goes to Derek. You have 45 seconds on the world's greatest picture, starting now.
The world's greatest picture, for me, is without doubt E.T. Who has not been beguiled by that wonderful little monster? Gosh, it's fun, isn't it? Did you see him come down from the spaceship, get out, wander through the trees, and everybody's looking for him, man with keys hanging down his back, and there is this great picture.
Yes, I'm sorry. It was a challenge from Clement. What's your challenge?
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Oh, did you hesitate? Well, as they say, he who hesitates is lost, and you were lost there. So the subject goes to Clement. You have 25 seconds for the world's greatest picture, starting now.
A Star is Born is a picture which I was incredibly fond of, especially as it was made 3 times. The first time was Janet Gaynor.
Yes, Nicholas.
3 times the first time.
Oh, yes.
One is singular, one is plural.
Yes, times and time.
Yes, look, I haven't come all the way here from Great Portland Street to be insulted like this. I'm sitting in Kenneth Williams' chair playing this game.
Yes, that's all right. There's no need to remonstrate in that fashion. You have the subject. You have the subject, Nicholas, and you have 16 seconds on the world's greatest picture, starting now.
The world's greatest picture, as Clement Freud said, is in the eye of the beholder. To me, it must be the one that my little daughter did when she was 4 years of age, and I now have it framed in my office, and I look at it frequently. It depicts...
Challenge from Derek.
His daughter's... He said his little daughter. She's a great big lump.
I will not have this provocation. It's outrageous.
Absolutely.
It's outrageous. I mean, you wouldn't hear me coming out with a remark like that. It's disgraceful.
It's rude about every member of my family.
I will have people properly behaved. I believe in people behaving properly. I'm all for that. Yes, you know what I mean. So you keep the subject. You have 6 seconds for the world's greatest picture, starting now.
This picture has a little child on the... you get in
Clement Freud.
When you
repetition of little.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Yes. You have the subject. 4 seconds on the world's greatest picture, starting now.
Oh, I think...
Yes, Peter, you're quite right. You have the subject. You have 3 seconds on the world's greatest picture, starting now.
Well, The Last Supper in Milan.
Repetition of well. He always starts with well.
He's rubbish.
He hasn't spoken.
I haven't spoken before.
No, but if he had, he'd still started with well.
Ah, well, I get an extra point, Mr. Chairman.
You cannot have a game on assumptions, Derek. He certainly gets a point. He gets a point for that, a wrong challenge, and you've half a second on the world's greatest picture, starting now.
Closed on Monday.
At the end of that round, Nicholas has increased his lead. He's in point 17 points, so closely followed by Clement Freud. And the next subject goes to Peter Jones, a good rebus, starting now.
Isn't that a kind of hieroglyphics game, like to be or whatever it is, Shakespeare, the way he had it, you know, the way it went? I don't want to repeat the first
question of Derek's challenge.
You repeated the way.
Yes, I'm afraid so. You have the subject of the good, a good rebus, starting now.
In the heraldic sense, a good rebus is a joke which is contained upon one's escutcheon.
No, challenge from Nick.
I thought that was hesitation.
I'm afraid so. You have 45 seconds for a good rebus, starting now.
When I was in France last, this man came up with a good rebus. He says, "Moi, je te bibi son complaveur. Au fond, je te bibi en rebus, ça fait ton genre, ça remble, oui. Au père, on te bibi son complaveur, on est plein, on est plein, on te pleuva. En fait, quand on est plein, on est plein, on est plein, on te pleuva. En fait, on est plein, on est plein, on te pleuva. En fait, on est plein, on est plein, on te
pleuva.
En fait, on est plein, on est plein, on allowed to audition. We come here and play the game. He comes here and auditions.
You can only challenge for deviation or repetition.
And, well, repetition.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that was proven. You're quite right. And so you have 32 seconds on a good rebus starting now.
A good rebus is something which we all like to read, isn't it? Because one picks it up and glances down on the page and there you say, my goodness, a good... What's the matter now?
Nicholas, why is you challenge?
I don't like to read it.
No, it's not you he's discussing. He's discussing himself.
He said we all like to read it. I don't.
Well, he said you've got half a second for the rebus starting now.
Something, anything.
Very good indeed. I'm afraid that round has ensured a much greater lead for Derek, but it's still nowhere near Nicholas's. It's still very much a commanding lead. The next subject goes to Derek. Old ladies who help me across the road. Extraordinary subject.
Do you mean, when you say me, belly, Mr. Chairman, do you mean yourself?
What did you say?
When you say me, do you mean yourself? You want Derek to talk about
these old ladies
who help me across the road.
It's written down here as old ladies.
Yes, I want you to interpret it for me.
Across the road.
I want you to interpret it for me.
I'm not in charge of the cards.
You can't explain then whether it is or not. I don't want Nicholas to get this because he'll just give us his widow twanky. I want to find out whether you mean me, yourself, or Derek.
I see your point. I'm afraid it evaded me before, but now it's all become crystal clear. Yes. Well,
for that, he's got his contact lenses in again.
I think you'll assume that it is me in a general sense for anyone that takes the subject. So, old ladies who helped me across the road, Derek, starting now.
One of the sweetest old ladies that ever helped me across a road was called Denise Breyer. She is most charming, handsome old lady, and...
I have to challenge, don't
I? Yes, go on.
Because Denise Breyer is not an old lady.
I agree with you. We'll get the
she must be. She's married
and
to you.
And you have 50 seconds on old lady to help me across the road, starting now.
The nicest old lady who ever helped me across the road was Mrs. Kettle. It was in the village of Swayfield near Grantham, where I was born. And she was...
Challenge from Derek.
That's not how they speak in Grantham. They have a very distinct... Lincolnshire accent.
Yes, well, he'll get to that later on.
Oh, will he?
So you'll get 45 seconds for old lady to help me across the road, starting now.
She had to be very careful because there were a lot of penny farthings and horts and carts on the road at the time.
Another challenge from Clement.
What's a hort and cart?
It's you mean your challenge is what? Deviation?
Deviation.
Yes.
In Lincolnshire, they call them orts and carts. They call them orts and carts in Lincolnshire.
Old ladies who helped me across the road, starting now.
My very favourite old lady who helped me across the road said, as long as you don't know Nicholas Parsons, I shall be very pleased to take your arm and escort you to the other side of the pavement. And I said that would be an enormous pleasure to me, especially as I was blind at the time. And so she gripped me. Oddly enough, by the thigh, because I can't mention the other part of the body by which she held me previously, and avoided an awful lot of oncoming bicycles, motor cars, trucks, buses, and a tram which had come from a museum and was going on to a road show in a neighboring village. When we reached...
Derek, why was that?
A tram wouldn't go to a road show, it'd go to a rail show.
No.
I can quite conceive of a tram going to a road show, so keep going. You have 1 second on old lady to help me across the road, starting now.
Agatha Palmer.
Very good indeed. He's done nothing to stop the commanding lead enjoyed by Nicholas Parsons. The rest are all trailing horribly, and it's his turn to speak next. You speak for 60 seconds on the subject of power, starting now.
Power to your elbow, a thing that Kenneth Williams often says, more power to this part of your anatomy. Power of the voice, power of speech, the authority that expressed in the power and the presence of a personality. If you produce this part of your vocal cords in the correct manner, you can reach the back of an auditorium. Right now, I am using my diaphragm here and sending the wind up, and it's vibrating against the soft palate, and it's coming out here forward through my teeth, and the power that is generated there is going forth to enrouse this audience up to say, Parsons is the man with power. Here's another man with power sitting beside me. He exercises that in another house.
Challenge
and over there,
Peter,
reputation of man.
Man, yes, you have a subject then.
Well,
power,
he's not a woman.
And 20 seconds starting now.
Well, it can also mean the power that you switch on, which provides
Sharon's from Pederick, yes?
Well, I just wanted to notice that he'd said well again. It's nice. Yes. I like sort of continuity on this.
Beautifully noted, but you get no points whatsoever. And the subject continues with Peter Jones, 16 seconds on the power, starting now.
Without it, you wouldn't be able to operate your hairdryer.
Who's challenging now, Clement? What is it?
He didn't say well again. Deviation.
Yes. Very good. Yes. You get a point for it. You get a point for a written challenge. You are amusing. And now you... of power starting now.
Or your electric massager, which I know you use regularly before you leave the house, and to which you owe a great deal of your wonderful complexion, because it opens the pores and the power that is generated.
Oh, splendid. Well, many thanks to Peter Jones for finishing in such tile at the end of Just a Minute, because we have come to the end of being able to play Just a Minute. The scores were as follows. Derek and Peter more or less in the lead. Clement very, very well with 90 points, but miles ahead of everyone else. Your winner this week, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. And I would like to say that I feel I owe it all to the warmth and generosity of the one.
Don't knock it. You've done well. Don't knock it. And thank you very much. We hope you've enjoyed this in Just a Minute and that you'll join us again next week when Just a Minute takes to the air once again.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Kenneth Williams. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkins.